Welcome to Quality Perks, the podcast that not only delves into the intricacies of contact center quality management, but also uncovers the personal stories of industry leaders. Brought to you by BPA Quality, your trusted partner in enhancing customer experiences.
Good morning, and welcome to Quality Perks.
Morning.
I'm Karen Dupree, and I have Neil Eggers with me and our esteemed guest, Daniel.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So we are going to be talking about, is the art of conversation dead? So, but first, the most important part is let's talk about our coffee. So,
who's going first? Me?
All right. Yes.
So today I've got Stumptown Coffee Roasters from Oregon, Portland, Oregon. It's very good. Enjoying it. Dan, what do you have?
Do you grind your own beans, Neil?
I do.
Your grinder? Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to do that. Absolutely. Well, the great thing about getting a job back in an office setting is the free coffee. So I have to tell you that I am drinking Rich Coast coffee from Central Pennsylvania, delicious Americana blend, and I love it. I can't get enough. I'm so happy I found a place to work that has such great coffee.
Now, those who follow the show know that I drink a tremendous amount of coffee, but I've been trying to cut back after fans were worried about my health. How many pots are being made around your office during a day? You told us earlier.
I don't know the total number of pots made, but I make between 5 and 6 pots a day. But you know where I'm at now, lots of HVAC and plumbing technicians. So the coffee has to constantly be flowing. Yes, a lot of coffee being made here.
Not all being consumed by you. So that's you're getting other folks to drink it as well.
I'm an 8-cup-a-day kind of guy.
Yes. See?
Yeah. Finally.
8 cups. Wow. I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Oh, absolutely. I sleep just fine.
Well, you're in the cold now, Dan. So you're going to need coffee to keep you warm.
Absolutely.
So. Yep. Well, I'm drinking a delicious type of coffee. It is Doppio's. It's called Sanpacho Honey. You can find this in Corolla, North Carolina. I picked it up on vacation this year, and I am just loving it. Smooth, and I can taste that little bit of honey with it as well. But it's funny because I was talking to my daughter who's in college yesterday, and I was asking her, hey, I'm doing this live event tomorrow, and the topic is the art of conversation dead? And I said, what mug should I use? And she's like, absolutely, you've got to use the Oscar the Grouch mug. So that's what I have, is Oscar the Grouch. You know, it says Scram as well. So I always say, you know, again, you know, about conversations, customer service, customer experience. I'm a Karen, but not that type of Karen. So,
so between the three of us and the thousands watching around the globe, our customer experience experts that we are, I guess our job is to figure out how to not make contact center agents like Oscar the Grouch, right? So that's. And a good way to do that is through the art of conversation. But Dan, when we had our conversations about you joining us today, we talked a lot about that, how in your career, you've come across different ways of agents handling calls and how quality monitoring and training initiatives can go along helping that art of conversation, but it's still a struggle. So open the floor up to you to kind of give us a little bit of history as to why this is a passionate point in customer service for you.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, customer service should always be, and you know, we'll start here and end here, I think, today, on a human-to-human basis, right? So, you know, we've seen a lot of AI-generated conversations. We see chatbots, but ultimately, human-to-human connection has been so important in the customer service industry. And I think, you know, sometimes we've gotten away from that. My goodness, think back a few years. During the pandemic, we were yearning for human connection, weren't we? You know, we were being told, call your grandmother, call your mom, check on your neighbors. Everything was about just having conversation. And just quickly, over a three-year period, it does seem like Oscar the Grouch, or, you know, we're getting close to Christmas time, aren't we? You know, the Grinch is taking over the customer service world. And I wonder, you know, I wonder why that is. You know, we can talk through quality. We can talk through how we have conversations. But the reality is our world is changing. And we need to be able to up our game, if you will, with conversation to be able to keep with what the current trends are, Neil.
Right. So how do you, I mean, AI is here, right? The chatbots are here. It's a very effective way of handling certain types of interactions, you know, your tier one and, you know, maybe some tier two interactions. So, you know, those basic kind of, you know, I want to pay my bill. Where's the address? How much do I owe? Those types of conversations. Yeah. But when you get into some more higher level discussions, at least for now, right, we've still got, you know, that human to human interaction. I personally think that it's only a matter of time before AI takes over that as well, or calls are segmented into a much more linear path so that a lot more calls could be taken by AI. But how do you go about, I mean, you know, not only where you are now at HP Solutions, but, you know, in your previous life, how do you go about conveying the importance of that human-to-human interaction?
Well, you certainly have to start with having call center agents bought into your company mission, right? So if they're not bought into the work that you're doing and they feel good about the work that they're doing every day, chances are it's not going to reflect in a positive conversation with your customers. So for me in previous roles and certainly even here, it's about helping to understand what the conversation should be about that creates the best customer experience. That's why it's important that quality assurance, customer surveying, customer feedback play such a huge role in how we develop agents and being able to celebrate those things. So, you know, it's more to me than just metrics. You did great on this phone call. Here's your score. But how those metrics play into the customer experience. And if we help agents realize that the work they're doing can really impact how the company performs and how a customer thinks about your product or your service, that's huge in our industry.
Yeah, I read an article earlier this week about, you know, from a customer experience perspective, about the need to get away from, you know, Net Promoter and tools like that are important. They play a role, but they can't be the only guiding focus in managing your customer experience from the customer's perspective, right?
Absolutely.
So it's interesting that you touched on that. Human to human interaction needs to, you know, be about making life easier for the customer, but also impacting the company's bottom line, right? So how's my customer experience strategy making money, saving money, and making it easier for my customers to enjoy my product or services? And that, to your point, making sure that agents are really bought into that holistic approach to that, that it's not the, it seems to come up often on these podcasts, and at least for me anyway, it's that thousand call stare, right? Like, okay, I come in to take the call, I call, call after call. And it may impact their ability to make that human to human connection. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
I don't want to get lost in this conversation today, the idea that customers' expectations sometimes versus the reality of the service that we provide, you know, can be really off, right? So Karen, you know, how many times a week, a month, you hear someone say, this is amazing, or that was amazing. We use this term amazing in our day-to-day life where, I mean, let's be honest, most of the time it's not amazing, but we use this word as just a way to communicate and to give people praise, right? So if we're using this word, advertising and different companies are selling an incredible experience, aren't they? Everything that you see branded, we're the best, we're the best. And then we call, and maybe that expectation that we're calling the best doesn't always fit, does it? So, you know, expectations versus reality is something that I think in call centers, we really have to start to have a conversation around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who are you talking to, right? So you're talking to the agents who are on the front line. It's not the folks in the C-suite. It's their job to your point, facilitate that company culture and make sure that everybody buys into it. But at the end of the day, the people talking to your customers are those agents or those bots or that AI. So yeah. It better be crisp, it better be positive, and it better be able to resolve the customer's issue succinctly and politely at the same time.
Absolutely. So, you know, is the art of conversation dead? You know, that's the topic of the day. And my goodness, I hope not. You know, we as professionals in the quality and customer service space really do have an opportunity for the next generation of our workforce to teach them ways to have great conversations. You know, the reality of the situation, you know, from where I sit, and I'm sure with the clients that you guys, you know, talk to and work with on a daily basis, is that an older workforce is starting to get out of customer service. So these workers were used to having conversations. They were used to phone calls. They were used to face-to-face, you know, going to a bank teller and having those kinds of interactions. The younger generation of workforce that we're all hiring isn't coming from that same place, are they? Mm-hmm. So one of the things when within your quality program that I was really encouraged by was, you know, no secret sauce being given away, but mm-hmm. how we could tie back quality assurance to the customer, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, did you make me feel welcome? Did you make me as the customer feel welcome? Did you make me feel like I was important, right? And using that sort of language and changing the mindset of an agent to say, well, you didn't do a greeting, you didn't show empathy, but did you make the person feel like you cared? You know, those are the things that I think can really help to improve the art of conversation over, you know, over the next few years, hopefully, before, Neil, to your point, AI is having every conversation for us.
Right. That you know of, right? Could be, could not be, you never know. But I, another ongoing theme that we've talked about is, to your point, making sure that agents are given the skill set to have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And that really comes again to the starts of the company culture, right? But it also comes with that training, you know, operations training, and how they're rolling out and constantly reinforcing that point. When you know, I'm sure we've all been in contact centers or around conversations where it's, you're hammering AHT, you're hammering the queue, you're hammering those things. And when that's your mindset, the art of conversation's out the window because you're teaching your agents that it's a commodity or it's, you know, it's an assembly line, get it done, get them out, get them in, get them out kind of mentality, where the most successful customer service organizations do the exact opposite. And they're very proud about that, where it's about developing the relationship. And when you do that, good things come. Their purchasing power increases, they're loyal to your brand. All of those things become reality when you take that time to develop the relationship. And where I'm going with this is the quality program just measures the good work that all those other departments are doing. It's not the quality program's responsibility to get the agent to do that. The quality program measures what agents are being reinforced by the rest of the organization. And sometimes I think we get lost on that. Quality is viewed as a police officer, so to speak, when it should just be a celebrating successes if everybody's doing things right.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. You know, a lot of times, you know, within quality, an organization might say, well, we have this quality program, but our customer service isn't getting any better. Yeah. So how do we as professionals communicate through the organization that this is what we're measuring, this is what our customer feedback is telling us on ways to improve, right? And helping call center supervisors, call center managers be able to coach to those specific attributes, I think is really important. You know, and the reality is that some of these things can be very simple. You know, it doesn't have to be this complex rubric, this complex sort of scorecard that measures everything that can happen on a phone call. You know, one of the things at a previous role that I had, the quality team and I really focused on one thing. Did this conversation make the person's day any better? You know, and yes, we built a rubric around things that were important to the conversation. But as we talked through and listened to calls or provided coaching, we would ask that question to ourselves and to each other. Did this conversation make that person's day any better? Did it improve their, you know, their life? Yeah, and I know it seems sort of pie in the sky to think about it that way, but are we improving that person's day, or did we hinder it? Did we make it worse? You know, and those are things that I think are so important when you're building a quality program, and certainly when you're trying to coach agents. Did you make this person's day better?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's a wonderful place to start. I couldn't agree more with the less is more quality form. Mm-hmm. You know, we typically see organizations that have had questions on a scoring form for years because somebody walked down the aisle of a contact center and heard something that they didn't like. And the next thing you know, it's on the scoring form where it's been, you know, scored NA for, you know, for a long time because you don't need it there. Yeah. So really starting with those behaviors that you want to reinforce and you want the agents to be mindful of day in and day out, call and call out to facilitate that positive art of conversation, to engage their customers. You know, my personal favorite is empathy, right? We see empathy on many scorecards,
sure.
But what does that mean? And how do you go about instilling that behavior on your agents so that they can provide that empathy, make a customer's day better by engaging in conversation? Yeah. And not all agents are the same, right? You're gonna have agents who just aren't good at that. But we could give them the support that they need to engage and show them behaviors of agents who are good at that so that they have something to emulate and learn from.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. You know, conversation is more than just the words that we say, right? How many contact center agents have you personally coached or we've talked to or they say, well, I showed empathy. I said, I was sorry.
Right.
You know, I said, oh, that sounds like a bad decision, or, you know, so they would say things and the words that they use are words that we have trained them to use to show empathy. But the art of conversation is more than just the words. You know, it's how we say the words. It's the feeling behind those words as well. And come on, let's face it, like most contact centers aren't paying people to be psychologists, right? They're not paying them necessarily people who have a ton of emotional intelligence and empathy training. You know, so it's our job to teach that training and to teach how to show emotional intelligence, you know, in a phone call. A lot of times what I would do different training sessions or in calibration sessions is ask the people participating to close their eyes. Because to the customer, it's just a voice. So yeah, we can see the screens. We can see the things that are happening on the call as we're scoring, but just close your eyes and hear it. You know, and what you hear is what the customer hears, and remove that veil, if you will. It's really incredible to see people, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That is different. Yeah, it was more than just the words.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only two things that are consistent. It's the customer's ability to articulate why they're calling.
Yeah.
And the agent's ability to understand what the customer said. And if you're not listening, maybe our next conversation it should be, is the art of listening dead? You know, if you're not listening, right, and you're feverishly going through all of your screens, you can't, you know, the train's already off the tracks immediately because the agent thinks he or she knows why the customer is calling, and they're going towards, you know, a resolution as opposed to engaging in conversation. And as you said, making that customer's day better.
There's that next QA buzz phrase, right? Active listening. Does the agent have active? What does that mean to someone? You know, what does that mean to the customer? Is the art of listening dead? I think that's a great segue to another conversation, Neil.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Daniel, thank you for your time today. I think I always learn a lot when I talk to you, and I appreciate that. So thank you for having us, being with us today. Absolutely. And we'll get you on board for another conversation about the art of listening.
Human to human. Human to human.
Absolutely. Share some more stories.
Humans, we should have conversation.
Right.
One thing I wanted to add too is it's not just about between the agent and the customer, but it's internally as well. So having those conversations with your agents and managers and just your coworkers, will bleed over into how they're communicating with your customers as well. So, you know, it's very important to make sure that you're having those open dialogue conversations, you're utilizing that conversation and segue to the listening as well to really understand what's going on with your coworkers. And I tell you, you know, it bleeds over. Just even, you know, you see posts on social media and anywhere, even on LinkedIn, it's like, you know, smile at somebody. Just that act of smiling, then it follows on. And so, you know, the conversation, have a great conversation with someone, you know, that conversation, then they will have a good conversation with the next person. So
absolutely. And celebrate. Celebrate. When people do a great job, let's celebrate it. You know,
you did a great job, Daniel. I love it.
Thank you, Karen.
I think Karen brought up a new show, right? Like for the remote workforce and those who were remote, who now went back into the office, missing that interaction, that company culture. To your point, Karen, like the company culture that we may have had in the office helps bleed over to, you know, the workforce that's answering the phones from the customers, right? Because we were all engaged. Now that's segmented a little bit from homes. And I know there's been a ton of research, and we wouldn't be the first people to talk about, you know, the impact of, you know, working remotely and the work that needs to be done to keep a workforce engaged and positive and conversational with customers when they're no longer encapsulated in that culture like they were when they were in an office or in a contact center. And Dan, since I know you're going through that, it'd be a perfect opportunity to kind of talk about the transition from, you know, a remote contact center environment to a on-prem contact center environment, and, you know, relearning some things from the past that you had to implement now.
Well, you know, certainly you can't pretend like your Zoom cut off.
Right. And we're done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for having Karen, as always. Appreciate everything. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody on our next episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.